Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our summary verses of the books of the Bible introduce us to the theme of each book of the Old and New Testament Scriptures, so that we might have a deeper appreciation and understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
Welcome back to our 66 summary verses of the Bible. As we continue to go through these books, we are now halfway through. As we're looking at these chronologically, we're looking today at the prophet Zephaniah, and we're looking right around the years of 640 to 612 BC. Nathaniel, what's our summary verse for today?
Today we are looking at Zephaniah chapter 3, again at the very end of his prophecy, only three chapters long once again, verse 17, and this is from the New King James Version. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So Zephaniah was right after the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Zephaniah would have prophesied during the early years of King Josiah. So a lot of our listeners might be familiar with King Josiah, one of the more familiar kings of Judah. He became king when he was only 8 years old. And he followed two very wicked kings, Manasseh, and then his father, who was also wicked, only ruled for 2 years. It was a pretty dark period to begin with. And Zephaniah was very active in working with King Josiah to bring reforms to the people of Israel. There's a lot of judgment in these verses. Zephaniah's message is one of judgment upon God's people because of their rejection of him. And again, like we have seen so often with the Old Testament prophets, one of the major sins that is brought up time and time again is the sin of idolatry. They were worshiping false gods. They had replaced the true God with false gods. And Neil, you and I have talked about this before, but one of the pictures that we have of that in the Old Testament is that of spiritual adultery. The children of Israel had made a covenant with God. It was like a marriage covenant, but they had rejected that covenant and they had gone to play the harlot with false gods. And the Lord said, this just isn't good. And as a result of your rejection of me, judgment is going to come. And he lays this out, it's going to be the Babylonians that are going to come, and they're going to bring judgment upon God's Old Testament people as a result of their sin. Now, thankfully, through the reforms, the message of Zephaniah and the reforms of Josiah, there's going to be a little bit of a lapse in that. It's going to take a little bit of time because there's going to be this remnant that is going to trust in the promises of God. And the Lord is going to preserve that remnant even through the coming judgment. It is a message of judgment, number one, for those who are idolatrous, but there's also this beautiful message of comfort to the remnant, to those who do trust in the promises of God, who are waiting for that promised Messiah, who are looking for the Savior to come. God promises, like he does here, that as we go through this judgment that is coming, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I'll tell you what, Neil, I think this is one of the most important things for us as Christians. There are those who believe and who teach that if you become a Christian, your whole life is going to turn around and you won't have any more problems in life. And I'll tell you what, that is not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what Jesus tells us is going to happen. In fact, he tells us just the opposite. But here's the difference. Some people would say, well, hey, if my life is going to become harder because I become a Christian, I don't want that. That's not what I need. But here's the hope that we have, and this is the message of Zephaniah, that while as Christians we face difficulties, it is through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God, Paul said. The difference is that the Lord gives us the strength to face those difficulties and to face them with confidence because he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is going to rejoice over us. He will quiet us with his love. That's the Christian confidence. It's not that our lives are going to be easier or better. It's that we are going to be able to deal with the problems of this life because we know that there's something greater coming. And that's really the message of Zephaniah.
I think you hit on a really good point there. You mentioned how he is this for us. He is that for us. And then the whole idea that this verse points out that over and over again, he will rejoice. He will quiet you. And again, it gives you that idea of that patience as they're going through this destruction of their nation and of their homeland, that the Lord's going to bring you peace again. Not necessarily here on earth, but a peace that passes all understanding. And that's ultimately what the Mighty One is going to deliver us from, this life into the eternal kingdom with him forever. I guess the main comment that I wanted to share, Nathaniel, because you did such a beautiful job of showing the context of Zephaniah and pointing to his ministry and what all he was, judgment he was bringing to them. In the midst of all that, you have this wonderful rose that sticks out here and how the Lord continues to be glad with his people, even though he's sinned against them, because there's chosen people. There's the one who's then deliver the gospel to the world and through which the gospel of the Messiah would come. And so that idea of him quieting you with his love, I guess I keep coming back to our perfect Father in heaven quieting us with his love through our restless nights, through our troubled lives. I just picture, you know, going into my children at night when they're scared and quieting them with my presence, quieting them with my love, quieting them with singing over them, you know, the lullabies of their Lord and Savior, which brings such a peaceful rest to a person's soul. And so I love that last phrase, he will rejoice over you with singing. I don't know if I've ever really thought about that before, the Lord singing to me his word, his comfort, and his promise. So often we think about our hymns of praise to the Lord. I'm just kind of in awe of thinking about how the tender Heavenly Father, our brother in Christ, the Holy Spirit speaks and sings to our heart with joy. Does that joyfully, and that just renews my love for him and what he does for me.
Well, I'd like to close with a hymn of praise as well that highlights the reason that we can have this calmness that the Lord places over us and the confidence that we have throughout all of the troubles of this life. This is going to be a familiar hymn, but the words are going to be just a little bit different than what we're used to in our Lutheran hymnal. So we pray. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen.
Amen.
We invite you to listen for new books each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. We pray that you will be assured that God's word is pure and is more precious than gold.